Service. Yesterday, I was one of the many that made a trip to Walmart in the morning before the snow, before the storm. And I had to think about that as I went and as I was there observing people. There were people who were preparing. There was preparation being made. Went to the gas station, and people were filling up their gas containers for the gas, probably for the generator, the snowblower, and I did the same. I was getting gas for the snowblower, which I didn't need to use. And I was thinking about tapping some water. You know, maybe if the electric goes off, we should have some water in some tubs. I didn't do that. But there was a lot of preparing being done. And I'm not planning to speak about preparation, but I had to think about that. There's preparation. Well, there was a prediction. People were preparing for the prediction. And some people took it serious and went about preparing. Now, we know that prediction, as time went on yesterday, changed, and things weren't as severe as what first thought, and the prediction changed. But I had to think about, there's a prediction in the Bible, the end of the world, the time when Jesus is going to come back again, the world is going to come to an end, and that prediction will not change. But how much are people preparing for that today? Seems like people are just going their ways, and our Sunday school lesson was on apostasy, and even if we're not careful, if we're not careful, we too can fall away into sin. And we feel the tug, we feel the pull of worldly allurements tugging at us. Well, let us prepare to meet God someday. Let us stand firm and strong. For a sermon, for a message today, I invite you to Psalm 26. To read this psalm and then turn back to Psalm 40 for a few verses. The title of the message is taken from Psalm 26 and verse 12. I'd like to encourage us today to examine our lives, to examine your life, examine my life. Are you truly standing on a level plane today? Are you truly standing on the solid footing of Jesus Christ? I'd like to read Psalm 26. We'd like to look at six essential elements of standing in an even place. The title is Standing in an Even Place. Psalm 26, verse 1, Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so why compass thine altar, O Lord? That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and in the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place, in the congregations where I bless the Lord. Title from verse 12, Standing in an Even Place. Today we stand in a culture, we operate in a culture, we rub shoulders with the world. Today, as ever, we need men and women, fathers, youth, who are standing firm on what they believe in the Scripture, from the Scripture. Voices of deception abound among us, around us, voices of deception. Are you standing on an even place? What is the even place? I'd like to look at that a little bit. What is the even place? I like to define the even place. I'd like to turn now to Psalm 40 and just read a few verses. The word even means plateau or level. We have the contrast here in Psalm 40 of the individual who is in a horrible pit, contrasting with one who has found the rock. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He established my steps. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Do you know what it is like this morning to be taken from the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and to have your feet set upon the rock, and have your steps established, have a new song in your mouth? Singing a new song. You remember, don't you, the miry pit, the clay. I thought about it today. If we were to go and walk around outside the building here, I understand it's quite wet. And your footing would be not very good. You would be sliding and be very careful how you're walking because you could fall. But contrast that to walking here on the blacktop on solid footing. Standing in an even place. Have you been taken from the miry pit? Are you experiencing stability, purpose, and security that is found in giving our hearts to Jesus? Giving our hearts to God and taking a new course and walking a new path. Singing a new song. I'm blessed with that thought of singing a new song. Man without God is helplessly lost in the mire of sin. And I'm really burdened today because of the mixing. Of the mixing that is done. You know, some of our little girls are sick. My wife is sick as well. But the little ones, you know, sometimes they do not want to take the medicine. And they need it. Their fever is high and they need to take it, but they do not want to take it. Well, sometimes we mix it, don't we? We might put the pill with some applesauce, or you mix it so they don't fear taking it. Well, you know, the devil today it mixes truth with falsehood, and I think we live in very dangerous times. Let us have our feet set upon the solid rock, walking with Jesus. I'd like to look at six essential elements of walking or standing in an even place. Number one, verses 1-3 in Psalm 26. An essential element for standing on a level plane is to have an open heart before God. An honest, open heart before God. Allow Him to search our hearts. Do you take time to read God's Word every day? To read it with an open mind, an open heart. Search me, O God, and try my thoughts. See if there's a wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need today to spend time in the Word of God every day. Time of meditation, reading, prayer, opening ourselves to God, asking God for direction, for wisdom, thanking God for His provisions for us. You see, Psalmist says in verse 1, "Judge me, O Lord, for I walk in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore shall I not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins." You know, I truly believe that the Christian who prays in earnesty, open heart, honest heart to God, and prays that the Lord would show him if there's anything in his life that needs changed, or that the Lord would direct his steps, I believe that God will do that. If there is something that needs changed in your experience, with an open heart of honesty, God will tell you. The Spirit will show you and lead you. Singing the new song. The thought of God judging us should speak comfort to the Christian and fear to the sinner. The Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian is faithful to convict the soul who is in need of correction. And the Holy Spirit is specific in His promptings. He's specific in His prompting. Sometimes people become unsure of their salvation. They just feel something is wrong, but they do not know what is wrong. And they have doubt about their salvation. Take comfort today. I believe, from what I believe of the Scripture and the workings of the Holy Spirit, He is specific in His callings in our lives. Number two, essential element for standing in an even place, or standing on a firm foundation, standing on the rock, if you will. Number two is simply this: trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Verse 1, "I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." And as I was shopping at Walmart yesterday, my ear caught a conversation that a lady was having beside me. She was apparently on the phone with someone. She must have had a Bluetooth or something. But I heard the word God, and that's what perked my ear. And I was listening to hear what more she had to say. She was standing there right beside me, and as I was shopping there, and she proceeded to say something to whoever she was talking to. She was encouraging the person, and I was really encouraged to hear someone expressing faith in God. She was encouraging the person to, well, we need to trust the process. And I can't get the words exactly how she said, but she was encouraging the person to trust the process by which deliverance can come. Or she didn't use those words. I forget it exactly. But today, we need to trust in God. We need to trust the process. We need to trust God. Trust in God produces joy in life. We may not understand the direction or the journey or the detours. But we maintain a trust in God. There have been times in my life where, in situations, where I had no idea of how this is going to work out. The situation was going to end. Did you ever have those situations where it seemed like you were up against a wall? There's a wall ahead of you. There's life, and there's this circumstance, and it appears like a wall. And how are you going to get through the wall? But I am so thankful today that as Christians and belief in God, that we can trust Him. And when it appears like there's a wall and there's a dead end, and it appears to us that there's no way out, we just simply maintain simple trust. Simple trust. And it is that trust that is God's working. It is that trust that produces joy. It is that trust that produces peace amid the trial. Trust in God is a battle of the mind. Satan, the devil, would have us to think negative. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about simple trusting God that says, God, I trust you. No matter what, I trust you. This may all go bad. That which I have feared may come upon me. But God, I still trust you because you're God. And I will not turn my back on you. The Bible says in Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let us have God our treasure, the Word of God, the path of God, the people of God, our treasure. I came across this quote. It is not the mounting of the waves, nor the fierceness of the wind that brings the most danger to us, but the smallness of our faith. The smallness of our faith. You know, the scene comes to me now of my mother again, who oftentimes I would see sitting with her Bible in her lap through the course of the day, where she had a moment to sit down and read her Bible. And she was a woman of great faith. But yet I know, from what I know of her, she had fears as well. But yet she trusted God and encouraged others in that trust of God. Number three, an essential element for walking on the level plain. And you see, this level plane that I'm talking about is more, it is not simply that life circumstances are all what I want them to be, but it is the level plane in our minds where there would be the choice of throwing up our hands in discouragement and despair, or the choice of simply trusting God and walking on the solid footing of God's word. And number three is simply that, walking in the truth of God's word. Believing His promises, obedience to the word of God is foundational to standing in an even place. Psalm 86, verse 11. I'll just read that. You don't need to turn there. Psalm 86 and verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name, forevermore. Verse 13, yeah, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. We serve a God of mercy and love and grace, a God who, yes, he's a God of justice, but a God who looks down on his children with love and mercy and grace. Obey God's word at all cost. And we need so desperately to have conviction in our hearts. That guides our thoughts and guides our walk and guides our way, even when we're alone. Proverbs 10, verse 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. 1 John 2, we can read that, but it talks about keeping the Lord's commandments, keeping his commandments, and loving our brothers, walking in the truth of God's word, to be living in direct disobedience to the word of God and yet claim to know God is a lie. To obey God's word above yielding to the temptation of compromise will bring rest and peace to the heart. Quote, an honest man alters his opinions to fit the truth, while a dishonest man alters the truth to fit his opinions. Walk in the truth of God's word. I'm ashamed at how little I know of God's word. In talking with people and in answering the questions that come about practice or whatever it may be, when we can quote scripture and simply say, this is what God's word says and this is what I believe it to be, it brings rest, and it may not bring total rest, but it brings clarity and foundation to the discussion. Walk in the truth of God's word. Again, study his word. Number four, standing in an even place. Separation from the world in association and practice. I want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You can turn there with me if you can. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Separation from the world in association and practice. Being not unequally yoked. Coming out from among them and being separate. You see, the church is composed of those who have been called out of the world. They've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. They are singing a new song. And Again, the subject of separation from the world is a large one, and we may not see everything the same, but the fact is that we are singing a new song, and our lives and our testimony should represent, and it will represent, the kingdom that we're part of. Singing a new song. Romans 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Just a couple questions. What is the level of my commitment to God? When faced with a decision, where do I go for counsel and advice? Does my commitment to God affect the way I live and the decisions I make? Does it affect where I go? Or is it basically, just do it. One of my friends that I work with, we get into different spiritual discussions. And one day, one of our discussions, I used to travel with him actually back and forth to work. We used to carpool. And I asked him one day, I said, "So where," and he's a professing Christian, but it was an interesting discussion we had. I said, "Where in your experience, or where would you call the line of the world? Where is that? Is it?" And he said, "I had to think about that for a little bit. So I'm not sure." And it's good for us to think about that. What are my non-negotiables in life? What are they? Where do I stand? If my friends are doing it, does that mean that I just go along and do it, even if I feel a little bit not quite sure about it? Do I value my brother's conviction? You see, separation is active in the Christian's life and affects the way he lives and the choices he makes. It's active. It's present. It works. It's present. But it must be founded on the Word of God. Well, when I say it must be founded on the Word of God, perhaps not everything that we do, we can connect exactly to a Bible verse, but we have conviction on it. Well, I can get a little deep. It is necessary that we do live our life based on the commands of Scripture and pass that along to the next generation. If we simply pass along a code of conduct, it will be lost. But we must pass along the foundation of the Scripture. Number 5, essential element. Turning back to Psalm 26 again, this one's from verse 7. "The man of God proclaims to others the wonderful works of God." Have you found freedom from sin? Have you found deliverance from the bondage that you were in? Tell others about it. Tell others about it. Excuse me. Help the fallen brother. Be an encouragement to others. Thanksgiving for what God has done for us inspires us to share with others. Proclaim it. Publish it abroad. He's put a new song in your mouth. Deliverance from destruction is redemption, enabling power to stand for truth. Loving kindness is mercy. John 3:16 talks about everlasting life, for God so loved his world, for God so loved us that he sent his Son to forgive us and to cleanse us, sent his only begotten Son. Proclaim it to others. And number 6, is a love to identify with God and his people. Where does God dwell today? God dwells within the hearts of those who are consecrated to him. The Spirit of God lives within those that walk after the Spirit of God and not after the lusts of the flesh. God dwells with the church, the body of Christ. Do you love the church? Do you love his people? Today, there is a great falling away from church membership. Individualistic thinking. I can have church myself, and maybe you can to a degree. But the church is a body. The church is a body. Where is my heart? Where is your heart today? Is it with God and his people? Do you desire to be at one with the people of God, to be of service, to be used? Do you want to identify with God's people? And I know that struggle and that pull can be hard at times, where maybe you're in a crowd you stand out and people are looking at you and you feel intimidated. But let us not fear. We serve a risen Savior. Let us proclaim his word to others. Well, may God help us to stand in a level plateau, to stand on the solid rock, to teach our families, our children, to stand there ourselves first of all, and then to teach our family and our children the ways of God, to say no to the evil, to stand on a solid footing. Let us kneel to pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to worship. Lord, I pray that you would take the words of Scripture and you know the hearts of the loved ones here. Pray that your Spirit would speak encouragement and strengthen each one as you can in your own way. We thank you for your Spirit, and we thank you for the provisions of salvation. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have minds that are solid and rooted in you, firm, standing on the rock. Give us wisdom as we face questions and challenges, maybe even from family. Help us to respond in love. Help us to hold out the mercy and grace and stand on the word of in your word. We pray for the many around us who need you. Help us to be a light and a testimony. Give us courage to speak for you, to strengthen and to encourage others who need you. We pray for the challenges in our own congregation here, pray that you would bless the little flock here at chapel. You would strengthen us and give us vision and courage to press on. We know that someday you're coming to take home the bride, your church. Help us to be ready. We pray, too, for the many of our number who are struggling with sickness. We pray for their healing. Help us to remember that you are the great physician, and we trust each one into your care. We pray, too, for Noah and Nettie. Pray that you would bless them and their journey. We pray for their children back home and for the one caring for them.
Pray that you would comfort them. Show yourself strong in their behalf. We pray that the days for mom and dad to come back would hasten on, that they too could be united together as a family. Go with us now and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name.